Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission. Welcome back to the WFO Life Podcast. Dr. William Curtis here and Lieutenant Colonel Chris Story. This is the first time we've got to get back together and chat again. Both of us had a little bit of a hiatus. How's it going?
It never gets easier to move a family of five people and three pets, even though I've done it, a bunch of times over the past 20 years, just doesn't get easier. So we're doing well in a new place, but still don't have all the, creature comfort set up. Through the miracle of a 5G hotspot on my phone, I'm able to do this because we're still waiting on the internet installation. But other than that, everybody's healthy and, enjoying living close to the beach. So.
Yeah, good. You're moving duty stations essentially, and it must be tough on the kids and everything to totally unplug like that and to get started somewhere else. But I guess as a military family, you guys are used to that.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to take the opportunity to go drive out west, and we explored some parts of the country we hadn't seen before we made it to our new duty station. So we got to go to Yellowstone, got to go to South Dakota, Montana, Colorado, and kids climbed a mountain that was a little bit harder than I had anticipated, but at least they feel like they actually climbed a mountain, which was good. And so now we're just trying to set up our life again to see what this place has to offer.
Awesome. Well, I did a little bit of similar. I think the same time you were traveling, I took my younger two daughters and we had a quick, end of summer trip where we did a road trip to Colorado. And, we drove to Pikes Peak. We did hired a climbing guide and did some climbing and hiked all over the Colorado Springs area. Had a great time. Of course, just the fun of a road trip where you don't know what you're going to see around the next bend, that type of thing. And we went whitewater rafting, all these types of things. So it was kind of a high adventure, getaway for the family. And, I feel a little bit recharged, but also, it was kind of right before this latest spike of the COVID pandemic. We've had this Delta strain has been really start to be on the rise. And so when I came back from that trip, it's been pretty much nonstop work for me. And, for the folks that listen to this podcast, we both have full-time jobs. So this is kind of a labor of love for us to put this content together. And we appreciate those that listen and the kind feedback that we get for the work that we do on this podcast. But sometimes this past couple of weeks got really busy to the point where, I just didn't have much left at the end of the day. And so my apologies for not having some kind of content out there I was trying to cover while you were traveling.
Yeah.
But, I think sometimes we just have to adapt, to what's happening and kind of keep moving forward with our primary missions. And that's kind of what got me thinking about our topic today. And it's taken in context, everyone has been disrupted by this whole pandemic thing and what it's done to our society and fabric and the way we live our lives day to day has changed dramatically. And for me, I've been thinking a lot about the idea of the need for us all to continue a mission. We all have life missions and purpose, and we have to do the best we can to stay on mission and be flexible and adapt. And maybe I thought we could kick that around today.
Yeah, I mean, I think no matter your line of work or, if you're stay-at-home mom or dad or, juggling multiple things like we do, I think it's important when, not only the pandemic, but that all kinds of, challenging things happening in the world to, reflect on, but, make us distracted. It's good to revisit what it means to have that mission focus. So it should be a good discussion, I think, for everybody.
I think what brought this up for me is that every day I'm talking to people, there's a couple things that are happening. One, I'm talking to people, and everyone, when you walk into the doctor's room and we're chatting about your health, usually there's about 2 or 3 minutes of chatter and small talk about life.
Yeah.
And the conversations typically are centering on how disrupted people's lives have become from what they're used to. And what's interesting is that some people are disrupted and it's a negative thing. Mostly I would say it's like most will frame it in a negative place. But then there's a lot of people that also comment on how their life has been impacted in positive ways. But one of the ones that really, really jumps out to me, and I guess there's different sort of life missions that people are on, but there's within there, within a bigger life mission, say your primary work or your purpose in life, there's also things that, you know, fall under that, like submissions. And one of those I think is physical. And this is the one that comes up the most for me, because what I'm seeing this pandemic, the COVID situation, is there are a lot of cases. But the reality is the folks that are impacted the most, for the most part, okay, this is a generalization, but for the most part are folks that are suffering some collection of health problems. Okay, this could be right. Ranging from obesity, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease. And if you look at statistically the case fatality rate, the people that are suffering the most are clearly people who fall under one of those categories. And I think if you look at the case fatality rate for the average human on the in the United States, let's say, like the case fatality rate is always hovered around 1.7%. And then if you look at diabetics, it's like 7% case fatality rate. And if you look at a person with heart disease, like blocked arteries, atherosclerosis, the case fatality rate is closer to 10%. Those are much more dramatic numbers than 1.7%. And that's why it's been such a catastrophic problem. But here's the thing. Like, what I keep emphasizing to people is that if we know that's the risk factor, then most of those have some type of lifestyle component that we should be addressing. And it always, you know, concerns me when, because of COVID shutdowns or the gyms not open or these types of things, there is a population of people that just said, oh, so I couldn't work out. I couldn't take care of my health. I couldn't eat right. I had to get fast food, sort of, as, you know, kind of. I've even had people to say that I don't have time to do that because I have to do so many Zoom meetings. I just eat fast food. And that's the thing that concerns me. And I want people to realize the mission goes on. It may be different. It may not be a gym. It may not be what you're used to. But sometimes the physical mission, the need to maintain our physical body is hugely important for our immunity and reducing our risk factors for COVID-19.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, the challenging thing is if you just watch the news or look at social media, it would tell you that the best things you can do are stay at home, wear a mask, and get the vaccine, right? And those things,
right.
I mean, are very defensive, right? They're very kind of reactive. But I think the things you're talking about, when it involves building up your health and supporting your natural immune response, those things I think should be very proactive or feel proactive for people. Like, hey, I don't only have to, you know, lock myself away from society, wear a mask, and get a vaccine. I can actually go for a walk, you know, 5 or 6 days a week. I can, you know, work right. to eat healthier. I can, you know, do meal prep, you know, like for every, you know, reason people give you of not being able to eat healthy or get exercise, you know, there is a counterpoint. You know, not everybody wants to hear it, but the fact that if you're going to prioritize your health and, you know, you're eating unhealthy and it's contributing to these, you know, other conditions you have, it's like, well, maybe if you took a couple hours on Sunday night and prepped, you know, fresh vegetables and, you know, a protein source that you could, you know, at least have for one healthy meal a day, you know, at a minimum, you're replacing, you know, one fast food meal with something healthy, and it's already done for the week. You know, like you see people doing the meal prep, and right. sometimes it's a little pretentious when people are, you know, putting their, you know, meal prep on there every week, but, you know, it is a good, healthy regimen to, you know, so, you know, so I mean, obviously some people are trying to be influencers in different ways, right? But you think about it, I mean, it's not that hard to make a little extra meat and, you know, steam some vegetables and put it in the fridge, and you can nuke it, you know, at work versus, you know, going through the drive-through at Whataburger. So I think that, yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, social media and the media will tell you, you know, stay inside, you know, wear your mask, get the vaccine. In some cases, those things are warranted for a lot of people, but that's not all you can do. Right. Like you were saying, I mean, I know we talked earlier kind of off air, and you were saying that, you know, obviously we've gotten better at diagnosing people's conditions and, you know, providing, you know, drug therapies and other, you know, treatment regimens. But how you go into this, if you do, you know, contract COVID, will a lot of times dictate, you know, what your outcome is going to be, almost more so than your treatment, you know, regimen. So I think that that should be a source of strength for people,
exactly,
you know,
right.
So. I mean, you know, I was going to say, you know, you can treat that as a stressor, or you can treat it as like a source of like, hey, I can actually, you know, have a vote here and make myself more prepared that if I do get sick, you know, I'll be better to deal with it than if I just, you know, say those other things that the world's telling you, you know. So it should be a source of strength for people that they can have a vote in their health, you know.
Yeah, and it's good that you brought that up. There's something subtle about what you just said there, and that is what's happening right now is a lot of our control is being taken away. Like we have stuff ranging from you can't do what you normally want to do because things are shut down, and then you have people telling you wear this mask, do this, that. We're even having a situation where, you know, vaccination, you know, is being pressed upon the communities, and so everybody has this heightened sense of I'm not in control of what's going on in my own life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that this allows when you start to refocus on your own mission and what you can control, focusing on your own sphere, if you will, is that you can control your own health.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can control what you eat, how you sleep, your exercise regimen. These things can all still be done in the midst of this pandemic. And those are things that make a big difference for metabolism, for insulin resistance, and all these things that we know seem to be part of the inflammatory risks that go on with catching COVID-19. So I think that's really super important that, you know, we reflect on what we can control. And, you know, that's a big distressor for a lot of people is this idea that they don't have control. And I've seen studies that show that when humans that don't have control over their environment or their situation, in mm-hmm. other words, their situation they perceive as hopeless, that is actually one of the most serious risks for your personal health. Like,
yeah.
Humans don't do well in that environment, and it raises stress and cortisol levels, which in turn suppress immunity, increase inflammatory problems, and that's just I think that's just, you know, very important that we take control of that aspect. But it doesn't have to be just physical. I mean, the you know, mentally, you know, we have different aspects of who we are, and I know that I have found because we have less things to do, like you're not, you know, maybe on the weekends in the past it's like movies and, you know, we're going out and we're doing stuff or whatever, but because there's less of those types of things, then I think the places you can go mentally for like mental and intellectual growth are greater. I mean, I've read more books, studied and listened to more podcasts, and feel like I've increased my skills in other areas so much during this time frame because I have less downtime to be I have less, you know, just blown time doing things that I might have done out and about that just aren't practical right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of interesting to see there's not, at least from my kind of friend and peer group and family, there seems to be not too much in between. I mean, there's people that have, you know, gained 30 pounds in COVID, and then there's people that have lost 30 pounds and gotten in better shape and, you know, started, you know, taking classes online. And then there's people that have kind of gone down the opposite end of the spectrum, right? And gotten themselves into worse physical and mental states. You know, not a lot of in between because it's like a deliberate decision, right? You see these circumstances and you're like, hey, I know I need to, you know, take the time to get healthier. I know I need to, you know, be positive for my family and for my peer group. And then some people, you know, like you were mentioning, you know, go the opposite end, you know, down the spiral, so to speak. And it's like, you know, I'm afraid, I have anxiety. You know, there's been obviously a lot of political stuff going on that, that impacts people, you know, in negative ways if they let it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think sometimes you have to be more deliberate about it in times like this, but forcing yourself to take care of yourself mentally and physically is it's almost like the thing they tell you on the plane. You know, if there's an emergency and you're, you know, and if you have like a young child or, you know, somebody that you're the caretaker for, you know, make sure, yeah, to put your mask on before you're helping somebody right. else, right? But it's because it's like you're no good. You're no good to anybody if, you know, you fall out. So it's the same thing when right. it comes to COVID or, you know, maintaining your mental health during challenging times. It's like if you – some people see it as selfish, especially if they're, you know, leaders, managers, you know, moms or dads. But you're no good if you're in the hospital and people are depending on you.
Yeah, one other thing that I think is important, we look at this idea of maintaining a life mission, and you know, part of that is the physical, the mental, is this idea of spiritual growth. Some of the content I've been reading in recent weeks has been on sort of meditative practices. I even read a book recently called Being Nobody, Going Nowhere.
Yeah, wow.
It's an interesting title, but basically it's a book on Buddhist principles, you know, the Buddhist philosophies. And what's interesting is there's a lot of themes where in a lot of the readings I've done lately that talks about hardship as growth. You know, yeah. when we're doing things that are hard and certainly, you know, working in a different environment, doing Zoom meetings or our work and social life is disrupted, that's difficult. But it also creates the opportunity for us to see when things are good. You know, yeah. I know that it was a real joy this weekend to just visited with actually one of our former guests, Amy Acuff, Olympian Amy Acuff.
Yeah.
Her brother, Brian Acuff, is one of my best friends. And he we just randomly got to see each other in just today, actually, at a soccer match in San Antonio. Both of our kids happened to be playing at the same park. We didn't know
cool.
it.
Yeah.
He spotted my Iceland jersey that he had given me from and so he came across the field. I got to see who this Iceland guy is, you know. And so he came across, and lo and behold, it was me. And,
that's
and
awesome.
It was so cool. We so much enjoyed this, getting to watch a live soccer match together like we've done so many times.
Nice.
And but the thing is that little moment, that little special moment that we had there was all that much more sweet, and I appreciated it. We didn't really talk about that, but I appreciated it because it's been so long. There's been a hardship. You know, we're guys that we go to games together. We go to pro games and watch them together, and we travel to different places to watch games. And so it's a big part of our life that's been shut down for the most part for a long time. And so sometimes spiritually, when things are very hard, we have these, you know, it helps us grow a little bit. It helps us also appreciate, you know, if you don't have lows, you don't know what highs are. And,
yeah.
and there's positive ways of looking at this, I guess, from a spiritual kind of mindset, you know, certainly from a Stoic philosophy. It's just like, hey, you know, you just make the best of the you can where you are, and then when things change, as they always do, then you've got, you know, you can appreciate it that much more. I don't know how that lands for you, but that's something I thought about just today, you know, in my personal life.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, off and on during the past, you know, year and a few months now, I kind of came to those realizations. I think the first time was when, you know, especially living in a place like Philadelphia, I mean, pretty much from March, almost through the end of the year last year, I mean, it was like, you know, you could barely go to a restaurant. The kids were mostly virtual school until, you know, probably, you know, they started going back a few days a week and around September or so in the kind of the follow-on school year. And I, you know, did that little retreat out to Colorado where, like, you know, 15 of us that, you know, went through all the protocols and, you know, testing and temperature checks to get, I mean, most of it was outside once we got there, but the fact that I was able to interact with, you know, 15 or so of my peers in an awesome place. And I think I said this at the retreat, it's like, you know, this would always be a good event that we're doing together, but the fact that, you know, we've been isolated from a lot of our friends and peer group, and in some cases even coworkers, you know, just that physical presence kind of reminded me of how, you know, how social creatures we are as humans. And I mean, it's great being around your family, but you need different types of, you know, stimulation in your life. And then just this weekend, I think when we were talking on the phone, I was coming back from Washington, D.C., and a friend of mine that's a federal agent and works up there, you know, he actually came down with that Guillain-Barré syndrome through, they still don't know how he, yes, and that, you know, as you well know, being a physician, I mean, it can be one of the problems when, you know, people have bad reactions to vaccines sometimes, and that his, they think it was something else. But I mean, he, you know, essentially he showed me videos that I never saw before when we were eating dinner last night, and like where he had to literally learn to walk again, you know, and he was lucky that, you know, sometimes can, yes, because that condition can, you know, as it moves up your abdomen, you have to go on a ventilator, you know, because it shuts down your diaphragm. You know, it's like a neurological, it's a temporary, for people who don't know what it is, you know, not, this is just from layman's terms, but it's like a, it's usually like a temporary neurological condition where, you know, it's almost like your body's attacking your own. It's almost like a, you know, like you hear ALS, right? It's almost like, it reminds me, the way he described it and the way the doctor, it's like a temporary ALS, you know, where like all your, you know, your body's attacking, you know, your nerves. And so all the things that, you know, allow your body to move. And like, he's a healthy, like I said, fit, federal agent, and you know, he couldn't walk. I mean, thankfully they were able to give him some therapy and get him in the hospital, so it stopped around his waist. But still, I mean, he had videos where he had to completely learn to walk again. He still has problems going up and down stairs, and so the fact, and it was his, and so it surprised him. His wife actually said that there's a place called Hill Country Live in D.C. where they have Texas style barbecue, and they bring in different, you know, Texas country artists. And so we surprised him. I drove in on Friday night and just went to the venue, and so it was awesome. You know, along the same lines of what you're talking about, meeting up with Brian. You know, he was in the hospital during the height of COVID in D.C., which was another, you know, kind of stressor for him and, you know, his family. But the fact that he's, you know, on the mend, and, you know, we were able to get together in person, I mean, it's just a, you know, healing for the soul, you know, to be around, you know, different people that, you know, we've been friends since, you know, basketball days in high school. And so same thing. I mean, it kind of refreshes you a little bit when you get to, you know, share the same space with people like that. So.
Yeah. And I guess as we get near the end of this mission topic, you know, one of the things I thought about, and this is perfect, is the social aspect of our lives. And I think that in the last few months, I've tried to be more deliberate socially. And it's been amazing to me to see how the people around me have adapted and changed to the environment. So I start with my coworkers. You know, this past week was the busiest our clinic has ever been. I mean, we were fielding for a clinic that has four, you know, doctors. We had, like, we're fielding 400 to 500 calls a day. Jeez. And it's overwhelming. And the attitude of the employees, even when, you know, we had one employee go down sick, and then everyone just sort of pulls together. One morning we had no nurses because we had one out sick. Actually, we had one out sick, and then another one had a child that was out sick, all COVID related, plus a provider out. So it just became very difficult to keep the doors open, so to speak. But yet it's amazing how others just stepped up and said, well, I can put an automated blood pressure cuff on, and I can weigh somebody. You know, I could do that if we can adapt. And everybody just kind of smiled and adapted and moved forward. And I think that's that social, being flexible and the positive, kind of the best of the human spirit kind of thing. I really enjoyed seeing that. And again, it's in a low point. It's not a good time right now. But at
Well,
the
yeah.
same time, it's amazing how people just sort of make the best of those situations. And I think it's important that we reflect on that and try to maintain our attitude and support and connect with others, because there's people that aren't feeling that way. There's people that feel isolated, or they feel maybe they're not contributing, or that people don't care what's happening with them. And I think that in our social circles, we can be that beacon of light for other people, and we can try to lift them up and make sure they're okay, and include them. And even if it's distant by Zoom or by text or whatever, I think that's something that I think is super important to maintain when your mission is being challenged by all these things that are coming at us and the way we have to do things differently. I think that, focusing on our social circles, and not only like, well, nobody's reaching out to me. Who are you reaching out to help? Who are you reaching out to encourage? And being a person who's positive, encouraging others is a one small, I know it seems like one drop in the bucket, but if you're putting out something positive every day, either socially or directly to individual friends, that's a huge, that other people will pay that forward if you do a little bit that yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say that, a lot of times either individuals or businesses, pay good money to have, somebody that's a leadership or, management guru. They pay them good money to manufacture some, stressors or conflict to have that team building experience. But, the fact that, like you mentioned at the clinic, when it happens organically, that's a powerful thing when, people are faced with adversity. And, it's kind of a type of fight or flight, I think, in a way where, you see what kind of people you really are yourselves and, what kind of team you have, who wants to kind of stay and fight and figure it out. And then who, kind of shirks from their responsibilities or kind of wilts a little bit, and I mean, that's not to say that you can't do that and recover from it. When you fail or you don't step up to the plate, that's a growth experience too. I think in light of this, what we've been talking about and, the mission topic, before I forget, I wanted to mention, with any military operation, one of the things that we do is, called operational risk management, where you talk about, the severity of, bad things that can happen and the likelihood, of bad things being able to happen. And that doesn't mean we cancel the mission. That just means, hey, we're aware of these risk factors and how are we going to mitigate it and still accomplish the mission. And so I think, whether it be COVID, whether it be, uncertain, political environment, uncertain things in our family, I think a lot of times, you can use a military analogy saying, hey, I know these things are, risks of failure, but, I still need to accomplish my mission in any of these areas with just understanding, hey, what's the likelihood, what's the severity, what is the mitigating factors that I can do to make sure that I, can operate in this environment and still be successful. So I think that, we can all do a little bit of that, regardless if it's trying to, stay healthy or, protect our family from COVID, operate in weird times with, changing things at work. But, if we do a little risk management, but, still keep our focus on the mission, we can juggle what we need to and still come out of it ahead at the end. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point. And I think there's, ample ways and different, whether you're a, like me as a doctor, or if you're, a homemaker, or just, there's so many ways that everyone has a mission, everyone has a life purpose, and they need to continue to execute that. And, whether it be a physical, mental, spiritual growth, or just improving your social connections and how you're lifting other people up. I mean, that's part of the life mission as well. So, think about how you're impacting, in your life right now, and are you still on mission? And if not, how can you adapt and pivot and move forward? So,
For sure.
Chris, this has been a good topic, and I'm super happy you guys have got back and set up safely there, and look forward to getting back into the groove and putting out some episodes routinely. And got any final thoughts before we close out?
No, I guess I'll just leave with like a positive nugget, and to cap what we talked about, it's okay to sometimes be struggling and not be okay, and that's another thing I was just been thinking about in these times. I think you have the opposite end of the spectrum. Sometimes people just want to have all the answers and figure it out on their own, and have everybody always looking to them, but. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to struggle, but just try to as my friend and kind of one of my mentors, Ryan Mannion, says, there's ways you can struggle well and come out of it with some more resilience and some more lessons where you can be maybe the one helping somebody else down the road. So it's okay to struggle. We got a bunch of weird stuff going on, but just keep your eyes on the mission and reach out to help for help if you need it. So thanks for the time and discussion.
Absolutely. We'll close out there. If you'd like to interact with us, please check in with the Future Focus Health Network inside of the WFO Life Podcast Tribe. We'd really love to get feedback from you. And if you like these types of episodes or any of our previous interviews and episodes, please leave us a review wherever you like to listen to us at. And that helps us kind of spread our message to other people and impact others in a positive way. Chris, have a great night.
You too. Thanks.